Hi, this is Travis Robertson. Thank you for downloading the Lake Norman Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or would like to contact us, check out our website at lakenormancoc.org. We would also like for you to visit with us at a worship service. You are always welcome at the Lake Norman Church of Christ.
First of all, I want to thank the elders for giving me the opportunity to come and present this to you. And also, I had a little funny intro that I was going to do, but you know, when Travis was talking about that little note, I had to focus on that because, and I don't think I told Travis this. Monty knew that we were coming. He didn't know that I knew Travis or that Travis had written him a note. So when I got there, that was one of the first things I did. I gave him that note, and it's very short. I think it's a little paragraph. He read it. His face just lit up. I mean, because he's out there in the middle of nowhere. You're going to see here in a minute. And he's in enemy territory. So that meant a lot to him. So I just wanted to say that to you. And I'm willing to bet that he's probably going to keep that for the rest of his life. You know, whenever he passes away and they go through his stuff, they're going to find that note that you wrote to him, I'm pretty sure. So this is India, and I know most of you guys probably know where it is in relation to everywhere else. Let me get up a little bit closer. Scott and I flew from right there, Atlanta, to London and to India and back. So it was about 20 hours in the air, two planes. That's a story in itself, but we're not going to talk about that tonight. We landed in Hyderabad simply because that's the closest place that had an airport to where Monty's based at, which is in Nandi Gama. And Nandi Gama and the surrounding villages are right around here. All right, so here's some interesting things about India that maybe you didn't know, or to be more trendy, five things you didn't know about India. Shampoo was invented there, and the word actually comes from their word shampoo, which means to massage. That makes sense. I'm pretty sure that what they invented was not what you can get at Walmart. It's probably, you know, herbal and all that good stuff. I wasn't real surprised to find this out on the internet. They have a lot of cows in India. My latter part of my childhood was spent in Texas. They have a lot of cows in Texas. They have a lot of cows here, but in India, they're everywhere. I mean, they're not just on the farms. They allow them to walk freely through the villages. And when I say it's not just a few, I mean it's, you're more likely to see a cow walking down the street than you will a person. Largest English speaking population outside the USA, 125 million people, but that's only 10%. And this is, I was really surprised at this, being that up until 1947, I think, India was a British colony, so I would have thought it'd be higher than that. But we actually, in Nandi Gama, we didn't run into too many people other than Mani and maybe some of his folks that are close to him that could even speak English. So every time that Scott and I would present something to the congregation, whatever, we had to go through an interpreter, and that was kind of fun. Has the most number of mosques, even more than in the Muslim world. Out in the villages, there's a mosque in just about every corner. And we'll talk more about that. I was talking to Travis before the service. The Muslims basically have a run of the place. I mean, they do whatever they want. They are the fastest growing religion in India right now. I don't know what this says about when people are allowed to choose their own mates, but India has the lowest divorce rate in the whole world by far. And most of those marriages are arranged. So, what does that say? I don't know. This is what most people think when you say India, the Taj Mahal, or a city like Bombay, big tourist trap. And as you can see, I mean, it's beautiful. There's the tourist boats and all that stuff, but the reality is a little bit different. Here's India right here as far as poverty ranking. There's Haiti. They're not doing too good. But look where India is, way down here. A billion people, over a billion people, 17% of the world's population. You saw how small they were on the map. but yet they comprise of 17%. There's a lot of people packed in India. And here's, by comparison, the U.S. We're only 5%, and we only got 326 million and change. So here's how the religions break up in India. 80% Hindu, 50% Islam, that's growing, and 5% other religions, including Christianity. So according to tradition, the Apostle Thomas first introduced Christianity to India in 52 AD, and today it's just not doing much. And how about the Lord's Church? Where are we at in all of that? 0.06%. That's our representation in India. Islam is the fastest growing religion. They have carte blanche. They do whatever they want. They are not persecuted in India. Nobody says anything to them. This is not an exaggeration. I took this picture from the roof of our hotel. So the mosque would have been a couple of blocks down off this main street right over here. Every morning at 4:30, 5:30, 6:30, and then two more times later on in the day, you know, the guy turns on the microphone. When I say it's loud, I mean it sounds like somebody standing in front of your hotel room with a bullhorn. It'll wake you up. You know, he does that, and that goes on for 5 or 10 minutes. And they're allowed to do that. So how is the gospel being preached by the folks, by the Lord's Church there from Mani Pagidipali? This is one of the things that they do. He's got three or four of these. This was a new one, hadn't quite came on yet. They were still testing and whatnot. But, you know, you've heard people say, like, and I'm thinking about Mexico. When you go to Mexico, what do they say? Don't drink the water. But the locals drink the water because they're used to it. The locals out in the villages in India don't drink the water. I mean, it will literally kill you. So this is a wonderful evangelistic tool for Mani to use to bring people into the church. Because it's a life or death thing. And if you don't believe me, this is a picture of two folks that had birth defects due to the mother drinking the water while she was pregnant. So this is a big deal. And they don't charge anything. People come from miles around, from all the villages, and they fill up their water, and there's no limit. They're allowed to fill up as much as they want. Mani doesn't charge them anything. And of course, while they're there, they get to hear the gospel. They have a TV program. They don't own the TV station, but they rent airtime. And that's my friend Scott. That's Mani. They just kind of put him on the spot. We were there to visit while they were filming a program, and the next thing you know, they put him in front of the camera. They tried to do that to me, but I ran. So, but they caught Scott. So, and you can tell he's kind of, he's like, okay. But actually, he was on there for about 10 or 15, off the cuff, completely off the cuff. I mean, he didn't have anything prepared. Mani was interpreting for him. And they got like 40 some odd calls because people are allowed to call in while they're on the air. And I was there, so I heard the calls coming in, and people were just crying, you know, and some of them accepted the gospel. So it's just fantastic what they're doing there. Anytime there's a flood or something, earthquake around there, Nandigama or any of the surrounding villages, they're right there on the spot to help people and also spread the gospel. This is something that's amazing to me. As much persecution as the church is suffering there in India, Mani is allowed to have these schools for kids, and this is an actual picture of some of the kids in the school. They're actually allowed to teach Bible, which was kind of blew my mind, because they don't allow them to do anything, but for some reason they're allowed to teach the children. And all these children come from homes where the parents are Hindus and Muslims, and they're actually allowed to read the Bible and teach the Bible while they're in school. So I think that's just really, really awesome. And they've got three or four of these. These are some of the other ways. This is a big one right here. You can imagine. I mean, as poor as India is, their infrastructure is basically nil. And so anytime you can offer free medical and dental clinic, you know, people are going to come. I asked Mani, one of the questions I had for him when I first got there is, do you guys go door knocking? You know, how do you get the gospel out? He says, oh no, you can't do that. I mean, it's too dangerous. you know, people would get hurt and get killed. So we just let them come to us. We offer all these things here. They got various churches, preaching school. They house widows and orphans. They do prayer meetings and things like that, and the people just come to them. And that's how they get exposed to the gospel. The preaching school is about two blocks down from here, and I think I've got another picture somewhere where you can see it. But one afternoon, we were just at the preaching school, and Monty said, "Come here, I want to show you guys something, Scott and I." And he had all these ladies and children come out. Those are some of the widows and orphans that they take in. And these people basically have nowhere to go. I mean, they would be homeless. We were out in a village one night and almost ran over an older lady that was a widow. And she had been, you know, people had just cut her off. And she was actually sleeping on the side of the road. We came really close to running over her. We didn't see her until we were like right on top of her. Here's the cool thing about, and this is just maybe half of the widows and orphans that they house. There's no time limit. You know, a lot of programs here in the United States, you know, recovery programs or whatever, they'll take you in for 2 or 3 months and you got to go, or 2 or 3 weeks or something like that. Here, if a widow comes in, if an orphan comes in, they can stay as long as they want to. You know, some of them do eventually leave, you know, they remarry or whatever, but they can stay until the day they die. This is a widow that was sold, was going to be sold, and the church bought her. So I emailed Monty, and my question to him was, if you don't mind telling me, how much did the church have to pay for her? And this is his response. I won't read it. I'll let you guys. So life is cheap in India. And she would have been, I mean, that's you know, like a slave trade, like human trafficking. She would have been sold to whoever, and they would have done whatever. She would have belonged to him or her. This is one of the churches that they have out there in one of the surrounding villages of Nandigama. That's some of the preaching students there. This is another way that they bring people in. This is Scott, myself, Monty. There's his dad right there. This is the gentleman that actually started the ministry that Monty is now running. That's his father. He's not in real good health. He's having heart issues and stuff, so Monty's pretty much running the show. This gentleman had a stroke. He came into one of the free clinics. He got help. He's doing great. I mean, he had a major stroke. And I work at a hospital. Usually people that have major strokes are in wheelchairs or they're hobbling around. He's able to walk and everything. By him going to the clinic, getting healed, and then going back to his family, his whole family was able to be brought into the church. So this is part of what they do. Same thing with this lady here. That's her daughter. And I don't think her daughter was in the church yet, but they were. This is one of the preaching students. He had been going out and talking to her on a regular basis, but she went through one of the clinics. She had a whole bunch of health issues, and they were able to help her. And so now they're reaching out to the family. This is some of the things that they do to reach out to the community, is these night prayer meetings. This was very late. This was like 10 o'clock at night, way past my bedtime. But people would come from miles, and they would take two buses to get there. Now, there's a funny story behind this. You can't see it. There's a dirt road right about here, and on that side of the dirt road, there's a Seventh-day Adventist church. And they had been announcing this meeting for a couple of weeks. The Seventh-day Adventist church got wind of that we were going to do this, and that night, they arranged for a field trip for all their people. And actually, while we were setting up these chairs, their buses were pulling in and picking people up and shipping them out, because they didn't want them to hear the word. So, yep. This is a widow. That's her house. And the future's not too good for her. She'll probably end up in that other place that I was showing you earlier, because she has no way to support herself. So it's just a matter of time. But they were reaching out to her. I don't think she had been converted yet, but they were reaching out to her. So that's just some of the things that they do. This little baby was born with a lot of heart defects, and Monty didn't do the surgery, although he is a surgeon, but he doesn't do pediatric surgery. A friend of his did. Point being, you know, the baby's doing great. The parents didn't have to pay for anything. The church paid for it. So that's another great evangelistic tool that they offer. Now, some of the things that they're investing in the future, this is a proposed preaching school and dormitory, et cetera, and all that that they're working on. The government in India is not being very friendly towards Mani or Christianity as a whole. They hold back, they drag their feet, just even when they own the building and it's already there and they just want to expand or maybe put in some more electrical outlets or whatever, you know, you have to get an inspector to come out and give you an okay, and they drag their feet and wait till the very last minute. This is a middle school that's almost done out in one of the villages near Nandigama. This is in Nandigama. This is a church that this is going to be a Church of Christ when they get done with it. They bought the land, but there was a building on it. They had to tear all that down. That's what all this is, all this rubble and everything. And then now this is as far as they've gotten with the church. So just kind of change of pace. Temples, Hindu temples are everywhere, you can imagine, in India. Mani took us out one afternoon to show us some of the places where the Hindus worship. This is a bull. And what they do is they just go out and herd it, and they just pick a bull or a cow, and he gets promoted. He gets put in this little place right here, and people come and worship him, and they put food and money and stuff in there. And he has all the hay and all the water you can eat and drink. And so, you know, if you're a cow in India, I guess that's a good place to be. There's a ceiling fan right there. I don't know if you can see it. I don't know if that would make any difference. It was 100 degrees when we were out there that day, but maybe it's just a psychological thing. This is one of the bigger temples around Nandigama. And if you know anything about the Hindu religion, they have lots of gods. I mean, you're never short on worshiping something. There's elephants, and I think that's the monkey god. He has the body of a human but the face of a monkey, and just all kinds of, see up here, take your pick. This was, I don't know if you can see it or not, this was a statue that you can see for miles and miles and miles of, I think that's the monkey god. And for scale, there's two people right there, two adults standing right there, so that's about 100 feet, something like that. We were going down a dirt road, and we noticed some people, about a group of four or five people on the side of that dirt road that were standing in front of a tree, so we just kind of pulled over in front of them and waited for them to leave, and then we pulled up, and it was just a tree. And they had one of those orange things, you know, where you put the money and the food, and they were worshiping that tree. So, Travis was talking about persecution. It's worse than you can imagine. This lady right here is in her 80s. She's about 4'3". One day we were out in the villages. When we got back that afternoon, she was hysterical. This was about a day after it happened, so she had calmed down a little bit. They had tried to kill her. They grabbed her by her feet and were dragging her around. And then when that didn't work, they started to choke her. And it was only because people around there saw what was going on and came to her rescue that that she didn't die. And that happens every day. I'm not exaggerating, every day. This was two of about a half a dozen ladies that are wives of the preaching students. While the men were at the school during the day, some thugs broke into the complex where they were living at and beat them. When I say beat them, it's not in this picture here. One of the ladies, they broke her leg completely. This big bone right here was just shattered. Another lady, she's not in the picture, she was pregnant when they got beat up. And 2 weeks later, she lost the baby. They know that when they do this, they're going to get away with it. And that's part of the problem. The government, the police look the other way. They would never do this to a Muslim in India. But because they're Christians, and you know, we try to get along with everybody and love everybody, and the police look the other way, they know that when they do this, they're going to get away with it. And this lady was burnt just because she was a Christian. we were out one day visiting the villages. When we got back that evening, this was a man that was killed. He was a Christian, and he was killed just because he was a Christian. And again, they know they can get away with it. That's why they do it. They literally get away with murder. But as Jesus told Peter, he said, "I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it." So here's the silver lining to this very dark cloud. Some baptism pictures. These pictures are recent. I got these through Monty about within the last week or so. So these are not old, 5 years old. That's Monty right there. Six knee souls on that one. Every time they do like a mass, where they bring people into the church, he sends me the pictures. So these are all like within the last couple of weeks. He actually sent me some this morning. 86 souls were saved at one time. I didn't have time to put it in the PowerPoint, but that's Monty. So, the word is being preached. People are coming into the church. These folks, he sent me an email a couple of days ago saying that a lot of the new converts are just really having a hard time because they're really starting to feel the persecution now. Once you become a Christian, you can imagine you get a big old target on your back. And Monty was telling us one day that if you are an ex-government worker, you're retired or whatever, you become a Christian, you leave the Hindu religion, the government will cut you off. They will cut your benefits and everything. So when these people get baptized, what's the worst that can happen here when you become a Christian? Maybe your coworkers are going to make fun of you, have a few jokes at your expense. It's not like that over there. They have to give up a lot to become a Christian. And they may have to give up their lives. And some do. So, Monty's the one that runs the, he's kind of the spearhead. He does have some people that are helping him. His father is still trying to do what he can. But for me, these next couple of slides, the reason why I included them is because when somebody asks me to give money, time, resources, whatever, my first two questions are they sound? Are they preaching sound doctrine? And he is. And the other question is, who's handling the money? What kind of person is he? So this is who Monty is, he was a practicing surgeon doctor. He owned a lot of land in India, enjoyed a very high standard of living. And as a medical professional in India, he was at the top of the heap. And this is who he is now. Preacher, evangelist, ministry leader. He gave all his land. Some of those things that you saw that they were building on was his land that he owned. The school, that proposed preaching school and all of that is going to be on his land. So now he enjoys a very humble standard of living. There's no bling bling with him. He's not wearing a lot of gold. He's not wearing fancy clothes, driving fancy cars or anything like that. Then, now that he's not a doctor anymore, he's not practicing anyway, this is what he gets for his trouble. He's a good guy. I got to tell you this. I was talking to an elder at another congregation yesterday. They were thinking about, they're already helping Monty financially, but they're thinking about giving him more money. They didn't have anybody from that church that had been there to see what Scott and I saw, so he called me and he's like, we want to give him more money. Is this for real? You were there. And this is what I told him. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I went as a skeptic. When Scott, I never talked to Travis about money. When Scott asked me 3 or 4 months ago to go with him to India to check out this guy named Monty and all the stuff, he told me all the things that I'm thinking, there is no way. There's no way that somebody can be doing all that. There's something going on. So I went as a skeptic, and I came back as a loyal supporter. And I talked to Monty this morning, and I told him, I'm going to do whatever I can for you because I saw what you're doing, and it's real. He's doing what we all should be doing, but we don't. And I'm just going to be honest with you. He's given up everything. I haven't given up a whole lot for the gospel. I'm just being honest with you. So As Travis was saying, you know, we all can't be on the front line. We all can't be Monty's, but we can help Monty, and we're going to reap some of that benefit. The last day that we were there, Scott and I hadn't talked to each other. We took about $500 cash with us because we didn't know if we were going to be able to use our cards once we got to India. So we took some cash with us. The last day that we were there, Scott and I were talking, and he said, you know, I just want you to know I gave my money to Monty. And I said, I just want you to know I did the same thing. I didn't realize that he had done it. He didn't know that I was going to do it. It was just a decision that we made after seeing what we saw, all the work that he's doing. We gave him that cash. I don't regret it. When I got back, I'm not going to tell you how much, but I had some money in a savings account that I got from my taxes from 2017. I sent it to him. And I'm here to tell you that was about 3 weeks ago. I don't regret it. I don't. I really don't. I'm so glad I did it. So, you know, if you're thinking, how can I help? This is his email. And, you know, as Travis was talking about encouragement, that means a lot to Monty. You know, people, he was telling us one afternoon, it was just Scott, myself, and him. We were just talking. And he said, you know, Eric, he said, I appreciate the money. You know, we need it for what we're doing here. But what I really appreciate is like what Scott, what Travis did. You know, people just dropping an email saying, hey, we appreciate what you're doing. Thank you. That means a lot to him. So, you know, if you got the time, you know, drop him an email. Just say, hey, you know, I saw the presentation, you know, appreciate what you're doing. He's going to be here, by the way, this fall. He's going to do like a little tour around this area. So, you know, he may be able to, I hope he's able to come here and speak with you in person about some of this stuff. But, you know, drop him an email. Just say, hey, we appreciate what you're doing. Of course, he's on Facebook, so you can follow and friend him there. And if you want to help, as I said, when I got back, I sent the money to these folks. I called and spoke to the secretary because I'm not going to send money to some place. I mean, I don't know who these people are. So she was a very nice lady. She talked to me for about 15 or 20 minutes, and I felt comfortable sending her my tax refund. I sent it to her. He got it within a week. He emailed me saying, got the money. Thank you so much. So they're kind of representing him here in the United States. It's hard, you know, with all the currency exchanges and all, just to send money to India. So, you know, throughout the years, he's figured out it's just better to just have somebody here that you can send the money to, and they'll get the money to them. So that's my presentation. I appreciate you guys, you know, giving me the time to present this to you guys. This is real, and he's doing a great work. And I was telling him this morning, I said, Monty, you know, you've got me for life, man. I'm going to do what I can. Anytime, like, you know, next year I'm going to be getting tax refund for this year, and he'll be getting that too. And I'm not saying that because I want a pat on the back. I just want you to know I'm not going to stand up here and be a hypocrite and say, you know, you need to send him your money. And, you know, I got all this money in my pocket. I gave him my money because it's not him. It's just not hero worship. I mean, he's just a man. But he's doing a great work there in India, and he needs our help. So I hope you guys, you know, maybe consider putting him on your monthly list or whatever. But, you know, if you can send him anything, even $20, that would help a great deal. So thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I'll just say a couple of words and then I'll have a prayer and close us out. I met Monty a number of years ago. I went to school in Bear Valley, graduated, was gone for a couple of years, came back and started working at a congregation close by, which is where I moved from down here. While I was working there, he came from India and became a student. He found Bear Valley online and decided that's where he wanted to go to get preacher training. He did the bachelor program and the master's program all at the same time. He was a medical student. He's single. He's not married. And he doesn't know how not to work. I mean, he just works. And that's what he does. He wakes up in the morning and until he goes to sleep at night. So he's one of those kind of guys, a wonderful man, if you get a chance to meet him, but doing a great work over there, and I love him. as a wonderful brother of mine. Let's go ahead and have a prayer, and we'll meet soon. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the blessings that we've received, the spiritual blessings, the physical blessings, the fact that we've had an opportunity to celebrate with our fathers and encourage them and thank them for everything that they have done for us. And our Father, right now, as we've been here this evening to see the work that Monty and many others are involved in India, we're thankful for the Christians there that are working hard, that are sending forth your gospel, planting seeds, and we see the fruit of it. And Father, we pray for their protection. We pray for the fact that more doors are open for them to continue to plant your word, to plant your seed. And we pray for Monty for his protection, because as I look at it, one of my biggest fears is what would happen if they hurt Monty. And so I pray that you bless him and protect him as he continues to further your church in this world and within him. Give him a prayer. Amen.